All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like to read the first 8 verses of this chapter and then bring a message to you tonight that I trust will be an encouragement to you. Look at verse 1. These are Paul's last words. Paul's last words. He said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I want to speak to you tonight a message that I'm going to simply entitle, Last Words. And I'm going to use verse 5 as the text verse. But let's pray and ask the Lord to bless and help us tonight. And then the message on Last Words. Father, we thank you so much for the testimonies and the music tonight. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts and Lord, the blessings that we've already received by being here tonight. But Lord, I pray now that you will bless the preaching of the Word of God. And may what is said here tonight stir and move and motivate us to greater heights of service for you. Lord, there is so much to be done in so little time. And so I pray that you will light a fire in our hearts tonight. And Lord, that every person in this room will be challenged to win souls and to share their faith and share their testimony with others and lead others to a saving knowledge of your dear Son. So Lord, bless and fill me with your Spirit and help me as I preach tonight. Lord, I want you to use this time to bring honor and glory to yourself, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last words are always very important words, and they're always remembered. I will never forget the last words that my mother said to me. I've told you this before. It was the night before she passed away, and they were the last words that I heard come from her lips to me. And she hugged me, and she said, "I love you." And I'll never forget that. I'll always remember that conversation for the rest of my life. I'll remember it, and I can still in my mind hear her voice as she said those words, "I love you." You may not remember a conversation you had with someone, but if it turned out to be the last conversation that you had with that someone, you would certainly remember what they had to say. Well, Timothy was Paul's son in the ministry. And Paul was going to take off the mantle and lay it on the shoulders of young Timothy. Paul knew that his time of departure, as he said here in verse 6, the time of his departure was at hand. He knew that it was only a matter of time, a short time, until his life was over. And so he uses this epistle to give instruction to young Timothy to help him in the work of the ministry. Now we can learn some great lessons from Paul's last words to his dear friend Timothy as he challenges him in this passage of Scripture. If you look at the second verse, Paul writes to Timothy and challenges him to preach the Word. He said that men would seek in time, they would seek after teachers having itching ears. But his call was a call to preach the Word of God. And notice that he is told, preach the Word. Not stories, not the news, not commentaries. Bible exposition should not be stories, but glories in the Word. There are over a dozen times in the Bible where the Bible's built-in dictionary pairs the word preach with the words the Word. Preach the Word. Look carefully at the word preach. Let the spelling of the word define the word for you. Preach means reach each person with the word. That's what it really means to preach. You are reaching each person with the word of God. That's why this challenge is not just for pastors and it's not just for missionaries. That's why this verse of Scripture can be applied to all of us. When Paul told Timothy, preach the word, what he basically was doing was telling him, be a soul winner. He's telling him, you proclaim the word of God and you reach each person with the gospel of Christ. Now, after encouraging him to preach the word of God, Paul tells him four things from verse 5 that I want us to look at very carefully tonight. All four of these admonitions tie into the primary point that Paul was making to Timothy concerning this matter of preaching the word of God. These four things were to help Timothy better reach people with the gospel. And so if Paul thought this would be good help for the young preacher, Timothy, and make him a better preacher and a better soul winner, then surely these things can help us as well. Look at your Bible, please, and notice the four things in verse 5. He said to him, first of all, but watch thou in all things. The first little admonition or the first little piece of advice that Paul gives to Timothy is very simple. He said, Timothy, watch in all things. This, of course, is a reference to a guard on duty. A guard who's keeping watch, keeping his post while the city sleeps. Now, back in Bible times, the watchman of the city was one of the most important jobs that you could find in the city. For the watchman had the responsibility of taking care of all those that were inside the walls. His job was to guard them. Now, if while he was on duty, he went to sleep, he could, under Jewish law, be taken out and put to death, for the safety and security of the city was in his hands. And that made me think, watch in all things. What's the admonition here? I think that it's twofold. First, a negative aspect and then a positive aspect. I think, first of all, we need to watch the spirit of neglect. In the matter of winning souls, we need to watch the spirit of neglect. This is one area in the Christian life where we as believers must remain watchful. We cannot get sleepy and careless. We cannot get to where we do not see the sense of duty in this matter. When it comes to the matter of winning souls, God is dependent upon each and every one of us to be a watchman caring for the souls of others. I was watching the football game the other night, and they had the shot from the blimp. And they showed the thousands upon thousands of people that were in that stadium. And the only thing that I could think of when I saw the thousands and thousands of people in that stadium was, man, I wish I could just take the halftime and preach the gospel to those people in that stadium. It just dawned upon me the urgency of the hour. I mean, people are playing instead of praying. And people are more concerned about the things of this world than they are eternal things. And if we don't watch out for their souls, they're going to perish and spend eternity in hell. Man is certainly not looking out for his own soul today. You know, it's so easy to get a spirit of neglect for the souls of men. And when it comes to the discharge of the Great Commission, God has entrusted to each and every one of us who are saved the responsibility of telling the gospel message and doing our very best to reach everyone we can. Folks, I'm saying that we need to be watching over the souls of men. Now let me teach you something. Let me show you something very, very neat here. I want you to look at that little word, watch. Watch. He says to him, but watch thou in all things. I want us to think about that little word, watch. What does that word mean? I want you in your mind's eye right now to picture the letter W. Put the letter W in your mind's eye. The letter W, as you look at the English language, the letter W pictures movement. And I'll show you that in just a moment. The W pictures movement. The W pictures moving matter. It is seen in the up and down motion of the waves on the ocean. The wafting up and down of the whale. Are you listening? Of the whale as he swims through the water. Overhead, winged fowls fly as the W-shaped wings appear to move up and down in a W pattern. I'm saying the W always pictures movement. Always pictures movement. Wondering of the mind, seeking to be wise. Ask who, what, when, where, and why. We wave at someone by moving our hand up and down. Wood trees have branches that weave in and out in the wind. And to watch meant that the watchman walked back and forth along the walls of the city, constantly moving to guard and protect that city. So folks, when Paul admonished Timothy, watch, what he was saying is, Timothy, be moving, be active. Don't be sitting around slumbering. Don't be sitting around slothful. No, be moving and always be concerned about the souls of lost and dying men. Do you see the point? Watch in all things. And that spirit needs to be a part of each and every believer, watching for the souls of men so that we can protect them from going out into an eternity where they will be forever lost in their sins. But now the positive aspect of it. We need to be watching to make sure we don't get a spirit of neglect, but we also need to be watchful that we develop a spirit of compassion. A spirit of compassion. When Jesus saw the multitude, He had compassion upon them. He saw the fields white unto harvest as He saw the men of Samaria coming out to hear His message. And Jude said, and of some having compassion, making a difference. As we watch in all things, as we get that attitude of concern and movement where we're constantly on guard for the souls of men and where we're looking, realizing that all men need the gospel, naturally compassion is going to follow. We will see men as they really are, lost and in need of a Savior. When I was pastoring out at Ridgewood Baptist in Joliet, Illinois, before coming here as your pastor, I talked to a couple of the funeral home directors and I told them if they ever needed anybody to preach a funeral, give me a call. I'd be glad to do it. And so they would call me all the time. I had all kinds of funerals when I was in Illinois. Most of the funerals that I had in Illinois were not my church people, but they were people who just passed away in the city, and they had no church affiliation, they had no pastor, and their family did not know who to call, so the funeral home would call me and ask me if I'd do the funerals. Had a lot of people saved that way. A lot of people saved that way. You say, you mean you like to preach funerals? I'd rather do 10 funerals than one wedding any day of the week. Yes, indeed. Now, I'm not encouraging any of you to die, but I just don't, let me just put it bluntly. I don't like to preach weddings. Funerals, I don't mind those because you can preach the gospel, see people saved. But I got a phone call one day, and And the funeral home director asked if I would do this man's funeral that had passed away, and I said I certainly would. And so I went on the night before and met the family, and they were all just as lost as they could be. And so they were standing there telling me that I should say this and I should say that, and everything they wanted me to say had to do with this man's career and had to do with this man's love of liquor and et cetera, et cetera. And I just would nod my head and smile because I had no intentions of saying any of that stuff. I was going to preach the gospel to them. And so I went in and I preached the message and gave the invitation, and several people responded and called on the Lord and got saved. And after the service was over, the eldest son of the family came over to me and he shook my hand and he said, "Preacher, I've never heard anything like what I heard today." I thought he was mad. He said, "I've never heard anything like I heard today." And I said, "Well, there's a first time for everything." And I just smiled real big. And he said, "I want you to know that I appreciate what you had to say." And I said, "Well, sir, let me tell you something. Do you realize?" And I don't know why. I don't know. But just instantly, my eyes filled with tears. And I looked him right square in his eye. And I said, "Sir, do you realize that Jesus died for you? And he wants you to be saved as well." And about that time, the tears went streaming down my cheeks. And that man stood there looking at me, not knowing what to say. And finally, he looked down, he looked back up, and he looked at me and said, "You really mean that, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, more than anything, I mean that." And I said, "Let me take you over here, away from everybody else." And he started walking with me. And it was my privilege to take him off to the side and sit down with that man with the Bible and lead that hardened sinner to Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Compassion makes a difference. Compassion makes a difference. And we need to watch that we develop that spirit of compassion. It's awful easy just to see people as people and not see them as sinners in need of a Savior. And I want you to know, dear friend, that once you get rid of that spirit of neglect in this matter of soul winning, and you're attentive and you're watching unto all things, you'll soon find that spirit of compassion becoming yours. How can we sit back and do nothing to stop the flow of lost souls dying and going out into eternity lost, to suffer in the torment and agony of hell? Paul said, "Timothy, watch in all things." The second thing he said here in verse 5 is endure afflictions. What Paul is basically saying to Timothy here with this admonition is something that Paul learned himself from his years of watching over the souls of men. You know, the devil doesn't like it one bit when you start winning people to Christ. And there's going to be some afflictions to endure. And sometimes God allows Satan to see if we really mean business. So we have to learn to endure. To endure afflictions. You say, "Well, Pastor, what kind of afflictions do you think we'll have to face if we start winning souls?" Well, first of all, you got to learn to endure the disappointment. You know, I've said it before, but I believe it with all my heart. But you would think that everybody in Carroll County would be lined up from the altar all the way back out to as far as it takes down Gorsuch Road, just standing there waiting their turn to hear somebody tell them how they can get saved and go to heaven. I mean, you would think those of us on this side of salvation, those of us that know Christ as Savior, we know what a glorious thing it is to have your sins forgiven and know that heaven is your home. But you'd think that everybody would be lined up, but you see, the natural man just doesn't understand the things of God. People are not going to be sitting in their house anxiously looking out the window, eagerly anticipating you coming and knocking on their door so you can tell them about Jesus. Sometimes you're going to be rejected. Sometimes the door is going to be slammed in your face. You're not always going to be able to stand and give a testimony about every person that you witness to. Not every person is going to get saved that you witness to. And that sometimes is difficult to handle.
You know, I think one of the biggest fears that a lot of Christians have as to why they don't win souls is the fear of rejection. I really do. Well, Pastor, what if they say no? Well, then you do what Jesus said. You dust off your shoes and you go to the next one. You just might find the next one says yes. Learn to endure the disappointment. Secondly, learn to endure the rejection. You will remember that Samuel was all discouraged and disappointed when he had to go and tell God that the people wanted a king. And he took it personally. But God said, Samuel, don't take this personally. The people have not rejected you that you should reign over them, but the people have rejected me that I should reign over them. And what you need to realize is that when you go with the gospel and you present the gospel message of Jesus Christ and somebody rejects that, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. Don't take it personally. Your job is to get the gospel to every person that you possibly can. And when someone says no to the gospel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the Lord. You see, the devil has succeeded in blinding and deceiving and in capturing the hearts and minds of an awful lot of people. I've had people laugh at me. I've had people curse me when I tried to win them to Christ. I've had people shove me away from them. I've had a couple of people through the years sick their dog on me. One guy opened his door and said, "Get him, Buster!" I said, "What'd you do?" "I outran Buster, that's what I did." You see, a lot of people are hardened by sin. And they're caught up in Satan's web of deceit. And they don't want anything to do with Jesus. They don't want anything to do with the Bible or anything connected to God. And Paul said, Timothy, you endure these afflictions. Jesus said, if they will not hear you, dust off your feet and go to the next person. You will eventually find someone who will listen and receive Christ as their Savior. Thirdly, Paul said, do the work of an evangelist. Let me tell you something, Christian. God wants each of us to do the work of an evangelist. The problem with the 21st century church is that we have turned the world over to us pastors, and I'm sad to say we've turned it over to a sorry lot. We're never going to win our communities with a paid preacher. That's never going to happen. We somehow think that since we're paying someone to be the pastor, that has somehow relieved me of having to do the work of an evangelist. But the truth is, God intends of all of us to be evangelists. We first run into the term evangelist in the book of Acts in chapter 21 in verse 8. In that verse of Scripture, Luke was talking about when Paul was in Caesarea and he needed a place to sleep. So he spent the night in the house of Philip, comma, the evangelist. Luke calls him Philip the evangelist. Now that's what the Bible called Philip. And that's where we got the term. We say somebody is an evangelist, which means they don't pastor and they're not actually a missionary. They are going from church to church and they're holding revival meetings. We call that an evangelist. Paul told Timothy here, a pastor, do the work of an evangelist. Now, go back to the book of Acts and let's let the Bible do a little defining for us. And let's find out what an evangelist does. Acts chapter 8. For just a moment. Acts chapter 8. In verse 1. I'm going to start, you catch up, all right? And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial. They had stoned him in the previous chapter. And made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women committed and committed them to prison. Therefore, now watch carefully here, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what's the next phrase? Preaching the, what? Word. All right, now remember, preach the word all 12 times. It's connected in the New Testament. So here are these lay people, here are these church members, and they are scattered abroad everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip. Now who is Philip? You remember in chapter 21 and in verse 8, we learn that Luke tells us, now Philip the evangelist. Here we have Philip the evangelist. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and what? Preached. Who did he preach? Christ unto them. Now folks, using the Bible's built-in dictionary, we can now learn what an evangelist is. An evangelist is someone who preaches Christ. What does it mean to preach? It means to reach each. To reach each. The idea is that whenever you are winning souls to Christ, you are doing the work of an evangelist. That's what an evangelist does. And this is why Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. The work of an evangelist is to tell others about Jesus. Yes, Philip was doing it, but also the church members were doing it. They were winning souls as well. And they were doing the same thing that Philip was doing. You say, well, Pastor, how can I win someone else to Christ? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Because we just happen to have a class that is starting on September the 8th that meets every Wednesday night for the next 12 weeks starting September the 8th, and we can teach you and train you how to win a soul to Christ. Dr. Stainer has developed a soul-winning training course. And you can attend this. It's a 12-week program, and you learn step by step how to win a lost soul to Christ. And I recommend this class for every person in our church. I think everybody ought to take it at least once. You say, well, Pastor, if I go to the soul winning club, I can't be in your prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Well, we've taken care of that problem too. We have what we call a loner tape. And you can stop by the school office, the church, well, what's it called? I knew that. The reception center. Y'all stay out of my preaching, all right? The reception center. And you can pick up one of those tapes free. It won't cost you a thing. And then you can put it in your tape player and listen to it as you drive to work or whatever the case may be. And then you bring it back when you're done with it. We'll erase it, put another sermon on it for you for the next week. And so in just 12 weeks, you will learn how to take your New Testament and show somebody how to get to heaven. And every believer needs to be able to do this simple step-by-step plan and be able to win souls to Christ. I tell you what, it would also be good if many of our church who took the class years ago, if you would sign up and take it again. I mean, it would challenge you, get the fire lit in your heart once again, and get you back on the soul-winning trail. Winning souls to Christ is the heartbeat of God. And you can win someone to Christ if you just will. It's just that simple. And so when Paul wrote this third admonition, he said, do the work of an evangelist. Oh, how we need evangelists in our church. Number four, make full proof of thy ministry. The last thing that Paul said to Timothy was, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, what's he saying here? Well, I think he's saying, Timothy, have something to show for your ministry. Have something to show. Have some fruit. Have something to show for your labors. Now, folks, listen. If I were to stand up here tonight and look all of you dead in the eye and say, I can do a backwards flip standing right here. Oh, that hurts when you laugh. When that just cuts to the quick. If I were to stand here and say, I can do a backwards flip right here. I can just do it. I'm not going to do it, by the way. You always sit there and go, yeah, right. I said, no, I can't. I can do a backward flip. And you'd sit there and look at me and say, prove it. Wouldn't do me any good to stand up here and talk about it. I could talk about it till I was blue in the face. I've got to prove that I can do it. And that's exactly what Paul is writing to young Timothy and telling him. Hey, Timothy, prove the gospel. I guarantee you, you give the gospel and it'll do the job. It'll do the job. I mean, prove your ministry. And that's what we need to do. I mean, we need to see some folks get saved. We need to see the church growing. We need to see the congregation maturing. I mean, let's see folks get baptized. Let's see others come in and learn how to win souls and just see genuine fruit in the ministry that God has given to us. You know, we're one day going to have to prove our ministries. Do you realize that? You see, one of these days we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and all of us are going to have to give an account of our ministries, of what we've done for God since we've gotten saved. Remember the old song, "Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown?" We don't sing that anymore. We should. Will there be any stars in my crown? You get stars in your crown for winning souls to Christ. Will there be any stars in your crown? You say, well, preacher, I don't know how to do it. That's why we have the Soul Winners Club. We can train you how to do it. You say, well, what if I come? They're going to stick me out there and put me... No, that's not how we do it. You come in as a trainee, and we stick you with a trainer. And you watch. And you observe. We're not putting any pressure on you. But you're going to find yourself after a couple of 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to find yourself when you knock on that door, on that first door, and you're going to find yourself saying, let me try it tonight. Let me do it tonight. Because once you know the plan, you just can't wait to tell it. Make full proof of thy ministry. Let me ask you something, Christian, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but I just want you to answer this in your heart. Do you have another soul to show for your Christian life? Do you have somebody that is going to be standing around heaven that you've led to Christ? Will there be any stars in your crown? You see, when we get to heaven and stand before the Lord, we're not going to be thinking about our Sunday school pins. We're not going to be thinking about our perfect attendance record or how many specials we sung on Sunday. We'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and we'll wish that we had won more folks to Jesus. And that's what Paul was admonishing young Timothy. Timothy, make full proof of thy ministry. Give it your best. Give it your best. Just don't talk the talk. Give it your best shot and walk the walk. I could stand here and tell you, yeah, I can do a backwards flip. Well, do it. Well, I don't have to do it. I know I can do it. No, do it. No, I'm not going to do it, but I can do it. Maybe 25, 30 years ago, I could do it. But I'll guarantee you, I couldn't do it now. But the only way I could prove to you that I could do it would be for me to do it. And prove to you that I could do it. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Timothy, prove. Prove. Win souls. Preach the gospel. Give the word. Reach each person with the gospel of Christ. Oh, that we would get a burden for souls. Paul's last words. And don't you find it interesting? He's about to depart this world. He knows his time's at hand. And his last words are the most important words that he wishes to leave in the mind and heart of his protege. And in his last words, what is Paul speaking about? The souls of men. Oh, that we would get that kind of burden for the souls of men. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for this time together, and I pray now you'll bless the preaching of the Word of God to our hearts. Lord, open
our hearts tonight and help us, Lord, to take the challenge that we have heard. And Lord, help us to put it in our hearts so that it'll motivate us. Lord, we need to get rid of these old neglectful hearts that we have. And Lord, we need to be moving and watching. We need to be realizing, Lord, that there are people out there that need Christ as their Savior. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Lord, help us to just take the plan and work it and give it and use it. And Lord, help us to reach each person with the gospel of Christ. Lord, stir the hearts of your people tonight in Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. How many folks here tonight will say, Pastor, God's dealing with me tonight. I'm saved, but I haven't been concerned about souls like I know I should be. And the Spirit of God is dealing with my heart tonight. Pastor, I need to preach. Oh, not stand up with a sermon and 3 points and illustrations, but Pastor, I need to reach each person that I can. And I haven't been, and God's dealing with me about that. Pray for me tonight, Pastor. Would you raise your hand up and let's pray about this tonight? Just hold your hand up and let's pray about this. Folks are dying and going to hell. We need to reach them with the gospel. Pastor, pray for me. Yes, God bless you. Many, many hands. God bless you. How about over here? Yes, God bless you, folks. God bless you. Amen. Good. Folks, you can if you just will. Would you let God touch your heart tonight? You heard testimony tonight of Wanda, and she said, 24 years, I sat listening. 6 months, or 12 weeks after 12 weeks after 12 weeks, hearing the announcement, why don't you join the Soul Winners Club? She said, 24 years, I sat there and listened to that. And finally, she joined. And she's rescuing souls from hell. Wonder how many of you have a loved one. Dear friend, if you don't reach them, who's going to? We've got to get burdened for souls. We've got to. Father, I pray that you'll speak now to hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit to just convict us and break our hearts. And Lord, may in just a few moments when we stand and sing, may this altar be filled tonight with Christians consecrating their hearts to be soul winners for you. Lord, just do your work now and speak, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals, please, and stand together singing hymn number 378. 378. Let's stand together and sing this song of invitation. Whatever your need may be tonight, the invitation is open. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to be saved. You ought to come and let us take the Bible and show you how you can know you're saved and on your way to heaven. Maybe you need to join the church tonight or you need to be baptized. Just whatever it is that you need, let God have His way in your heart. On the first, you come now as we sing.
Give me a passion for souls, Lord, a passion to save the lost. Oh, that Thy love were herbal and welcome at any cost. Jesus, I long to be with Thee. No better loss than consecration. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning, the glory of pardon to come.
Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Instruments playing softly. Take as much time as you need there at the altar. Thank you. Folks, look this way, please. We have one of our teenagers coming forward tonight. This is Athena Passamacallis, and she has come forward tonight to surrender her life to whatever the Lord wants her to do, and we just praise the Lord for that. And Athena, we're glad for your decision, sweetie. God bless you. Amen. If you rejoice with her, and we'll pray for her and ask the Lord to lead and guide her. Say amen. 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 Good. God bless you. All right. So, Pastor Holbrook, did he already vacate? All right. Where's your ice cream thing? Because we all want to come. Okay. It's just for bus folks, right? Huh? Bus folks and pastors, right? Okay. All right. All right. Do what? And senior pastors, right? Yes. Yes. No, that's what you do, is bus. Quit fussing. You can't go. Be quiet. All right. If you shake hands with somebody you haven't already shaken hands with tonight, you can go home. All right. God bless you. We'll see you back Wednesday night.